So this morning I've entitled the lesson, Letting Your Light Shine. We're going to start out the lesson of the morning by reading 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7. If you would, please turn with me. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7. Here it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So in these three verses, it's saying that God is light, and so when we follow God, we should have light in us. And if we walk in darkness, then we're not following God, and we have no relationship with God. Next, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Here it says, "That by in two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Let's turn over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Here it reads, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised the world began, before the world began." Next, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Here it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So in these passages we just read, it says over and over and over again that God cannot lie. He cannot sin. How much plainer can this get to us? It is not in his nature to sin. And no bad things were found in his mouth, as we just read. So we should always try to be Christ-like. Now there are always going to be times when we fail, and that's why we have each other to help build ourselves up. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 26 through 27. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 26 through 27. Here it says, "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So here it's talking about heaven and that there shall be no sin in heaven. Well, we stop and think, well, we're sinners here on earth. But yes, we do sin, like I said, and we mess up. But that's why we have God to forgive our sins. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all the manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So here it's saying that Jesus was holy, and it says for us to be holy because he was holy. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through 2. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect the will of God." So here it says, present yourselves a living sacrifice of God. And he said, do not be transformed to the world. So we should be that light that doesn't sag into the world. In the Bible, it tells us that we receive light from three places. The first being, we receive light from the Bible. If you would, turn with me over to Psalms chapter 119 and verses 105. This should be a very familiar verse to all of us. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So I believe that going to preach the word is another way that we let our light shine as Christians, and as well as being an example to others. Also turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So here in the two passages we read, the Bible is telling us that the lamp is to our feet. It shows us the way. And the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine down on us and reflect on others. Second, we receive light from the Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 9 and verse 5. It says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So Sean, that LED beam you've got on your pickup, it's pretty bright at night. But God's light is way brighter. And it's meant to be. God's light is the absolute best light we can have in this world. So now that I just talked about those two, first two, the Bible and the Holy Spirit are the same thing because the Holy Spirit inspires the Word of God, which is the Bible. Thirdly, we receive light from fellow Christians. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." So you know, all the time we hear people in the church say, "I want to do more for the church. I want to help spread the gospel." But then they say, "Oh, I just don't have enough talent." Well, I believe that God gives everyone talent in some way. We just have it all differently. And He gives every child of God enough light to help bring another soul to Christ. It says that your light is either shining or it's hiding under a bushel. When your light shines, it glorifies God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." So folks, it just doesn't get any clearer than this verse that we just read. Christ was an example to us. He suffered for our sins and not His own. We should strive to follow in His steps, and when we follow, His light shines through us. Turn to the book of John, chapter 13, and verse 15. Here it says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So again, here the same thing. God has given us an example. And we should humble ourselves because God gave His only begotten Son that we may have forgiveness of sin. And if we do right, then we will be happy. Just think of the last time you went and did something nice for someone. And think about how you felt after you left that place. Think about how your heart felt. Most likely you felt pretty good because you made that person's day. Next, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So let's break this verse down. You might have noticed that at the end of the verse it says, "In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So in word means what comes out of our mouth as people. As Christians, dirty jokes and cuss words should not be coming out of our mouth. In Ephesians 5 and verse 4, it says, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Let's go down to chapter 4 of Ephesians and go to verse 29. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." No corrupt communication can come out of our mouth as Christians. But the good things that we say could and should edify others. Let's turn over to back over to chapter 5 of Ephesians and go into verses 12 and 13. It says, "For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever do things make manifest is light." So now if you think about it, if someone's doing something in secret, 9 times out of 10, it's not very good. So here it is saying that it's shameful for us to even speak about these things. You know, I wouldn't even think about these things because it's just another temptation that you'd want to talk about it to someone else. In verse 13 that it says that all things are reproved are made clear by the light. You know, when you're out in the woods and it's dark, very dark, and you just see shadows in front of you, and you have a flashlight and you turn that on, well, the flashlight makes it a lot clearer. And that can come to our light as Christians. That should be the darkness of the world. We should make it lighter. In conversation, it means the way we live our lives and the way we conduct ourselves. In charity, do you love? Are you kind to others? Do you do good deeds of kindness to others? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and acknowledge and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." You know, how important is faith to us as Christians? It's pretty important, I could say, for most of us. Well, here it says, you can be the most faithful in the person in the world. You can have faith that you can move a mountain, but if you don't have charity, then you are nothing. In spirit, do we get excited about spiritual things? Do we get excited about having a gospel meeting or attending to see other fellow Christians? In faith, if God said it and we believe it, then that settles it. Turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So whatever the Bible tells us, we should believe, because it is the whole truth. And the more we study our Bible, the stronger our faith will become. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about the hall of fame of the faithful, if you will. The chapter talks about the good examples of people letting their light shine because of their faith. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 10, excuse me. We're going to read the first 11 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. Here it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all the drink same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these sayings were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit for fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them were also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them, were in samples, that were also written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, as we just read, these examples are history to us. They're in the past. And it says most of them are admonition to our lives. You know, they had desire for evil. They were not on the straight way. They were on the broad way. You know, I think of a very good visual Philip used a couple of years ago in a sermon. In Dallas, we have a big freeway called 635. And it's four lanes. One part of it is four lanes open, and then the other part is one lane and it's coned off. And I think of the four lanes as the Broadway. You know, it's rough and it's got a bunch of wrecks out there. That's where the evil is. God was not very happy with these people, as it said. You know, Satan opens doors every day to us. And you know, God is right there to offer another one, right there beside him. And we should most certainly choose God's door. And if we choose God's door, then our light will shine and we will go to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye are able to bear it. Here it says that we are going to have temptations in our life. I mean, we're human, we're on the earth, we're going to have temptations. But it says that God will not let it bear down on us where we can't handle it. That should be so comforting to us as Christians, that God is going to take care of us on this world. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 through 6. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those after should live ungodly. So God has proven to us that he does not tolerate sin. And we are very fortunate that the Bible gives us these examples for our admonition. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So here again, the Bible is telling us that all of these things were written aforetime for our admonition. It's for our learning. My next point is we must shine and be salty. One important thing God wants us to know is that we are the biggest light in the darkest of places on this world. We are to help sinners come out of that dark place of the world when we are Christians. How do we let our light shine? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Many of you know Brother Mark Woody. He was at La Prada a couple of weeks ago, and he gave a lesson on this. And he said, many times people tend to think it's the fruits with an S. It's just the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits. And he also pointed out how people think, oh, I can just pick and choose out of these two verses. I don't have to do all of it. Well, that's not the truth. You have to do all of it. You know, I think if there's a reason that all of this is in the Bible, and if God didn't put that in there, then why would we not have to do all of it? He gave the example of an orange. You know, orange, you have a peel, a stem, the taste of it, and then the smell of it. And if you don't have one of those, then you don't have an orange. And it's just not the same. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So if the salt loses its taste and its flavor, then what is it good for to us? It's just sprinkling speckles on our food. It doesn't change the taste of our food. Pay attention that the verse says, we are the salt of the earth. You know, as Christians and as a brotherhood, we must have a salty testimony in our light and have a bright shining light to go with it. God wants you on fire when it comes to your light. He wants you on fire. Think about how pleased God is when our hearts are burning with His light and others can see that. We need to recognize this as children of God. So what is our purpose? He said that we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now Uncle David's house, he's got a pretty big house, but it's not quite a city and it's on a big hill. When you're driving by at night, he's got the swimming lights on and you just can't miss it. It's big and it's light and you can't miss it. So that should be the way we are as Christians today. Let's turn back over to 1 John in chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. We open with this passage this morning. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7. Again I read, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So as some of you may have noticed in my prayers, at the end of it I say, we are the only Bible most people will ever read. And you know, some people will think, oh, he's adding something on the end of his prayer. But we should take this statement very serious. You know, people in the world, they don't have any examples. They have the world. You know, and unfortunately, my statement that I say, it's very, very true in today's world. But you know, if we let people read let them read us, then let's make that a book that they don't want to drop. You know, you read a book and you don't want to drop it. You read it for days and days until you get done. Well, let's make that our light. Let's make people not want to drop that. I've got lyrics of songs here I'm going to read to you in conclusion. It says, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead his men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will ever read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, given in deed and in word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his life would spurn? How can we hope to help him and welcome his return?